Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Nashville Predators, the Ryan Ellis trade, and the expansion draft coming up as well. And Joe, we've talked about the Ellis trade and what that has done for this Predators roster. Now, the other news of the weekend, the expansion draft protection list was out as well. Nashville protecting five defensemen and three forwards and the one goalie, the only team in the league to go the five defensemen route in the expansion draft. Carrier protected, obviously Josi and Ekholm as well, Dante Fabro, and then Philip Myers, who they received from Philadelphia in the Ryan Ellis trade, also protected in the expansion draft. The three forwards, very interesting. Philip Forsberg and Luke Cunnan, I think to nobody's surprise, protected in the expansion draft by the Predators, but also Tanner Jeannot protected as well. So Colton Sissons, Callie Yarncroke, both exposed in the expansion draft, obviously to nobody's surprise. Duchesne and Johansson exposed as well. What did you think of Tanner Jeannot finding his way onto the expansion draft protection list by David Poile and the Nashville Predators?
Don't you know, I was kind of surprised.
I saw you tweet that yesterday.
Yeah, I was like, oh gosh. I know, it's got to stop. At some point, it's been too much. No, I didn't even consider it. And I want, if anyone out there claims that they saw Tanner Jeannot being protected coming, then I want you to show some receipts. I don't believe it. I've seen like every possible projected protected list that was out in the world, and
yeah.
We never discussed it.
No,
and like Porth said, like before the show, I mean, he was like, I didn't even realize that he had to be protected. I just kind of the young guys like Olivier. You know, it's like, yeah, they're exempt. I mean, I would have, if someone said to me, is Tanner Jeannot exempt or not? Yes or no, right now. I would have guessed yeah. But I didn't look it up because I didn't even think it was a thing. But I will say, of all the things that have gone on, I get it to a point. You said earlier on the show, okay, maybe there was some information on their end about like interest, potential interest. And even if not, I mean, Tanner Jeannot was one of the real pleasant surprises of last year. Even in a relatively short period of time, like he was not only obliterating everything in sight. He was skating well. He showed some skill. He was finishing. I mean, there is a lot to like about him.
There is, but it just goes back to, like, unless David Poile either knows something about Seattle's interest in Tanner Jeannot and feels like there was pretty strong evidence that they were going to take him, or, I mean, I guess they just love Tanner Jeannot that much. I don't know. Like, I just don't envision Seattle selecting Tanner Jeannot. So if you're not going to lose him, why would you protect him? Like I was just floored by this yesterday. And again, maybe David Poile in his conversations with Ron Francis, who is the general manager for Seattle, maybe he's gotten an inkling that Tanner Jeannot is somebody that the Kraken are interested in, and the Predators felt like he's too important to their future to give up. And if that's the case, that's the decision that they've made. But now you've exposed either Yarncroke or Sissons as well. I would guess one of those two are going to be taken. One of those two are probably going to be taken anyway. I thought it was going to be Yarncroke. But now that Sissons is exposed, like, I feel like Seattle, that's a pretty good deal for them. You've got, what, 5 years left for Colton Sissons? A little bit over $2 million per year. He's from, like, Vancouver. Like, there's a local part of that as well. I mean, there's a lot to like about what Colton Sissons brings to the table. Now, if you're the Predators, like, I feel like if you lose him, you're going to lose him for nothing, and I feel like you could get something for Colton Sissons if you ended up deciding to trade him at some point. Like, to me, unless David Poile just has a very strong feeling that Tanner Jeannot is on the radar for Seattle, this feels like pretty bad asset management to me. That was my reaction yesterday.
Yeah, well, and it's, look, another thing is, again, there's the big picture of what it says, right? The fact that that would even be a consideration. Like, who do you have as forwards on your team?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that was – and, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, I think that there's always going back here and saying, well, you could have done this, 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 and traded this guy here or there and gotten more for it than you did. Obviously, the trade deadline and most of the talk by the deadline was around Granlund, but there was a ton of Ekholm talk back then too. I mean, sure. There's a lot of things that you could have done last season to put yourself in a better position now, or at least, you know, conceivably a better position, and you didn't. So now you're in the spot you're in. Now the argument against that, and I buy this to an extent. I mean, it was important to make the playoffs. It's important from a business perspective.
Sure.
You can dismiss that if you want, but coming out of COVID, I mean, it's like you have to consider those things. But I don't disagree. I the whole picture of all of it, it leaves me scratching my head a little bit and just wondering how far away this team is or is going to be from being what David Poile says he thinks it could be.
Well, and also, and I talked about this earlier today, there's a lot of love for Yakov Trenin yesterday on Preds Twitter, and people upset that Yakov Trenin was not selected. And again, I think Yakov, not selected, but protected. Yakov Trenin is a good player. I think that he, and that line in particular, we talked about it so much. I mean, they were so important to what the Predators did down the stretch. I also look at this and I say, if you lost a Tanner Jeannot in the expansion draft, or you lost a Yakov Trenin in the expansion draft, I feel like the replacements are right there. I feel like they're already there with Olivier coming in. Like, it got to a point in the playoffs where that's what they were doing, basically, was switching up those guys every day. Trenin was in there, Sissons was in there, and they were basically flip-flopping Jeannot and Olivier in the playoff series. Like, you've got four guys right there, and really three guys when you take Sissons out of the picture, that are all kind of playing the same role. I just feel like if you lost Yakov Trenin in the expansion draft, that doesn't change the picture with this group very much at all, at least in my opinion. Now, we've had somebody on the text line say that, you know, Trenin is the next Scotty Hartnell. So maybe it is a big deal.
I mean, he's a good – I like him. He's a good player. But, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. By the way, how is that poll?
That's a good question. Let me pull that up. That's our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And you can vote on that poll at 1025 The Game to Twitter. The question is, of these two players, which one would you prefer to lose in the expansion draft? Is it Colton Sissons or is it Yakov Trenin? 257 votes are in. 54% say Colton Sissons. So Sissons is the player so far that people would prefer to lose over Yakov Trenin.
Hey, man.
That's surprising to me. It really is.
You've learned something. The Yakov love is
pretty
strong.
Real.
And now Trenin wants to beat you up. Delaney Walker, beat me up. I don't like our chances against either guy. Do you see the Gover tweet here?
Yeah.
Jeremy K. Gover. You guys don't think Sissons or Trenin or Yarncroc were left unprotected because that's who the Preds have offered sale to take Duchesne? But why? What does it matter about protection there? I mean, you just trade them.
Well, if it's – he's saying if you're trading – if you want Duchesne to take – or if you want Seattle to take Duchesne, you're leaving Sissons unprotected if he's included in that piece with them. I don't know. Like, if I'm Seattle – does Colton Sissons really change the way you view Matt Duchesne? Like, are you more willing to take on Matt Duchesne's contract if they give you Colton Sissons with him? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't be, but maybe Francis is.
I guess I guess what I'm saying is, like, you could trade a protected player too, just as easily as you could trade an unprotected player, right?
Right, but if they're protected, I think they're protected from Seattle. Like, they can't be taken. So I guess you could trade them along with them.
But they can only take one anyway.
Right. I guess you could trade them along with them, but I don't know. Like, I don't think that's why that happened.
But I will say, like, I could see all sorts of combinations, you know, being bundled for them to take Duchesne.
Yeah.
And if you go through the lineup, and it does, like, there's guys right now who are going to be in roles that they shouldn't be in next year. And we had that's not even counting Granlin if they can get him back.
Exactly.
Or not, to the point where it's like, okay, so maybe what we're seeing right now, the next step is this guy and this guy are going for them to take DeShane. I don't know. At this point, what's your percentage chance that that Seattle takes one of those two guys?
Well, we're going to get to that coming up next. We'll get to the percentage chance of Seattle selecting either DeShane or Johansson in the expansion draft. Also got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Tonight's guest is first assistant coach Steve Guppy. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and at thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of Nashville SC, big win for Nashville SC over the weekend, 5-1 against the Chicago Fire. And Hani Mukhtar with a hat trick in that game, the fastest hat trick in MLS history, 16 minutes for Hani Mukhtar. So a big win by Nashville SC. Make sure you check that out tonight on ESPN 94.9 for NSC Backstage. Joe, there is a little bit of news circulating out there right now, and Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic has come out with a piece at obviously at The Athletic, detailing Luke Prokop, who was selected by the Predators in the third round of the 2020 NHL entry draft. He is a defenseman. Last year played in the WHL for the Calgary Hitmen, and he has become the first player under contract with an NHL team to come out as gay. And Pierre LeBrun has detailed this in a piece at theathletic.com, and Prokop himself has come out with a statement on Twitter. Quote, "Hi, everyone. While the past year and a half has been crazy, it's also given me the chance to find my true self. I am no longer scared to hide who I am. Today, I am proud to publicly tell everyone that I am gay," and goes on to talk about the journey in his life there that led to the decision of him coming out today publicly. So again, the first player under NHL contract to come out as gay. And Pierre LeBrun, who we've had here on the show before, does a great job with TSN and at The Athletic as well, has a good story at The Athletic kind of detailing that process as well. So Sean Henry from the Predators has come out with a statement, and David Poyle as well from the Predators and their hockey ops department, the first NHL player to publicly come out as gay.
Yeah, I saw the email from the Preds and these statements, and I'm like, wait, on what announcement? And then I'm seeing that Pierre has this huge piece on it, so looking forward to reading that, but it's a big deal, you know, and it's one of those things where you would hope it wouldn't be a big deal, and at some point in the world it won't be a big deal, but this is a lot of courage right now, you know, for people like this, even in this year of 2021, to come out and be open and honest about this stuff. And so, I mean, good for him, and hopefully it's 100% acceptance, and we get to the point where, you know, this isn't news.
Well, Prokop, as I said, third round pick last year, 73 overall by the 2020 NHL entry draft. So he did not come to development camp last year, obviously, because there was no development camp last year. I would assume that he will be there this year when the Predators have their development camp. So that would be the assumption that I operate under, that Prokop will be there at Predators development camp, which is shortly after the draft this year in the NHL.
So this is, you wonder if this is sort of, a little bit of momentum in terms of just in the sports world, people being more comfortable, coming out, people who are gay coming out and being accepted. I mean, obviously the Michael Sam thing, how long ago was that?
That's a great question. I want to say like 2012, 2013.
Was it that long ago?
I think so, but I'll have to go double check that.
Carl, I mean, obviously, I think it was a big deal with Carl Nassib of the Raiders, someone who's under contract, the first active NFL player, now this. And, hopefully more and just more acceptance at large for things like this. But I'm really looking forward to reading this story from Pierre on Luke.
And you can check that out at The Athletic, I believe 2014 with Michael Singh.
14, there you
yeah,
go.
So yeah. Right around that time. I was about a year off.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is. Time flies. So taking your thoughts on the Predators, on Pro Cop, on everything on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We got a lot of your texts to get through. Jeff on the text line. I agree with you with respect to Sissons. He would have been the third forward I protected. But for the sake of accuracy, his salary is not $2 million. It is 2.85. There you go, 2.85.
Okay.
Cool.
It's still pretty cheap. Yeah, it's still, for what he brings, it's a very good deal.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gator Tim texting in. David Poile has to go. First trading Ellis for two bags of pucks and then protecting Tanner Janot. His moves in the last 3 years are unexplainable. There's certainly some frustration out there with David Poile right now. And I'll be honest with you, the protecting Tanner Janot thing, I just don't get. And unless he has direct information that Seattle is just going to take Tanner Janot, I don't understand it. That's a baffling move to me.
Yeah, I mean, you have a glut unless you're just – I mean, you know, Janot, Olivier, Trennan – I mean, two of those three guys are going to play at one point, right? Like, they're not all going to play next year, right?
I wouldn't think so, unless one of them's moving up to the third line.
Or unless one of them centers that line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about a surplus, again, of fourth line forwards. Look, I will, on Janot in particular, I think he's an intriguing player. But I also don't think that intrigue comes close to extending to, like, Seattle possibly taking him.
Let's go back to the text line. Frank texting in. Talk about an epic fail. 2 years after a massive contract, there isn't a Preds fan in sight that wants to see Matt Duchene stay, and some are even okay retaining salary to get rid of him. 99% chance that both Duchene and Johansson are back next year, so Duchene better find some common ground with John Hines. I don't know that I would go 99% that both Johansson and Duchene are back next year. I think certainly if I had to put a percentage chance on it, probably somewhere around 80, 85% would be my thoughts.
Yeah.
I think Johansson is interesting. Like, I don't think there's much of a chance Seattle's taking Duchene unless the Predators just go overboard and selling off some pieces with him, and I don't think they're going to do that. I think Johansson is interesting. I mean, he's from that area, right around Vancouver, so he's not that far away. His salary is a lot. But you know that he's going to play well in the playoffs. I think he's demonstrated that long enough now where you know that. And you know that, you know, he's 28. He's still there. Now, he's going to turn 29 in, I think, 10 days from now or 12 days from now. So he'll be 29 by the time he plays for your team. But the Johansson, his deal is at least, I think, an interesting one for Ron Francis and Seattle to consider. I think now that it's official and he's exposed, I think that there's at least a chance that Seattle goes down that route. I don't think there's much of a chance with Duchene. I just don't.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think Johansson is certainly I would think about that. If I were the Kraken on Duchene, I need a whole bunch of reasons to start thinking about it. And Duchene being – to the earlier point about Poile and his job, I mean, you know, Duchene, this is official acknowledgement 2 years later that he totally made a mistake there, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not just a couple years. I mean, really, it's been basically four straight years. My starting point is always early in the 17-18 season, the deal for Turris. And from there to now, it's been way more L's than W's for David Poile and his moves. I mean, it's been a bad run. They're in this position because of a lot of his decisions.
Dave on the text line, Janot's scoring touch gives him a much higher upside than Trennan. Glass makes Sissons or Yarncroke expendable. Too many centers. I hear you on the too many centers part, but to me, Glass doesn't make one of the bottom six centers expendable.
Right.
He makes one of the top six.
He's got to be in the top
six. Like, if Glass is going to be what you have traded for him to be, and he was drafted sixth overall, you're hoping at some point he's a top six player for you. So, like, Colton Sissons, to me, really doesn't change the picture on that. The more interesting question on Glass is if you're not ready and if you're not able to get rid of Johansson or Duchesne in the expansion draft, are you bringing Granlund back? Like, where are you putting Granlund at that point? Because he was the second-line center last year.
Right. You may have to bail on that, even though if you had your choice of the three of them right now, you would quickly Granlund take Granlund first.
Yeah.
This is why, I mean, really, if you go through the lineup, you start typing names down all together, it doesn't all fit. It doesn't all make sense. It's also not done yet.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of – a lot of things left to fall into place here for the Predators. Got a texture that says, the jury is out on Glass. He's 22. He hasn't even been to court yet, never mind the jury being out. He's very young. There's still a lot of time to figure things out with Cody Glass. It's not going so well for him so far at the NHL level. Now, and somebody brought this up over the weekend too. I mean, Cody Glass, he was drafted 6th overall. That's the prize that for David Poile in this Ryan Ellis trade. It's Cody Glass, and he wants him to come in and if he lives up to his potential, I mean, you're talking about a really good player in the top six for you for years to come that's under contract control as well. So that's a big deal. He has been very, very average, probably at best, at the NHL level so far. He is young. There's still time to figure it out. But I think also the Vegas situation, which is where he comes from, is interesting because they're not operating under the normal way expansion teams operate. Like, there's a building process that takes place. Like, Vegas right now is in a window to win a cup. And, you know, they tried Cody Glass out on the first line for a few games. Didn't go overly well, and they moved him down, and it's just been hard for him to get back up ever since then. So I don't really know exactly what to make of Cody Glass so far and his NHL struggles just based on the situation that he's been in with Vegas. I mean, he's got 22 points in 66 career games, 9 goals, 13 assists. Those are certainly not numbers that you want out of your number one center or your number two center. That's got to get better. But I don't know what really to make of him at this point based on how young he is, number one. But number two, his usage in Vegas, I think, is a little bit different than it would be in other teams.
Well, it's past time for someone to come in with underwhelming numbers and then exceed them in Nashville versus all the players in recent years who have come in and, like, almost fallen off a cliff in some cases.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. They need someone to, you know, to deliver over expectation at some point.
Kevin on Twitter says, Vingan on July 16th on Twitter said the Preds are trying to re-sign Eric Halla. We did see that. Adam Vingan reporting that Halla and the Predators are at least in discussions about a new contract. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then also saying, to be fair on Duchesne, he signed on to play under Peter Laviolette. I think he has to go if John Hines is here. Well, that's fine. Can he go? That's the realistic question. Because I think it's pretty clear at this point, there's at least some friction there between him and John Hines. And neither one of them will probably admit it in public, but there's pretty obviously, I think, some friction there between he and John Hines based on the way that Duchesne has played, based on the role that he's been in at times as well. I mean, to me, that's on Duchesne to fix now moving forward. Like, you've been at center. You've been on the second line. They put you at on the first line at the end of last year. Maybe that's a route you consider going with again if they're back here in training camp next year and just seeing what you've got there with Duchesne and Forsberg and Johansson all playing together. I liked how they looked at times. Maybe you can find some magic there in the regular season. But at the end of the day, like, if Duchesne's here, he's got to find a way to be productive no matter where he is, because if he's not going to be, they're just stuck, and that's a tough spot to be in.
Right. One way or another, there's going to be a lot of, sure hope this and this and this works out.
Yeah.
You know, Tomasino or Glass, Tolvin, whatever. But if both those guys are back, there's a whole lot of that at a high cost. So if let's say it's that. So let's say they like that from the Carolina series, and it's those three. First of all, could you even sign Granlund? Becomes tougher. But let's say you do. Granlund, Cunning, and who?
I don't know.
Tomasino, Tolvanen, Glass.
I guess
one of those three.
I guess so.
I mean, and then of the remainders. Then, I mean, if you're looking to re-sign Halla, I like that. Halla's a nice bottom six forward. You got Cousins. Got all the you got your
Cousins
kind of
feels
Janot.
Like a guy that if this keeps going this way, Cousins feels like a guy that may get moved this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of found himself at the end of the playoffs last year out of the lineup a couple of times. Like if they keep going this route and Tomasino is going to be a part of the team and Tolvanen is going to be a part of the team and Cody Glass is going to be a part of the team and you're bringing back Granlund and you're bringing back Eric Halla, like at some point, you've got to move on.
Somebody's
got to
be out.
Yeah.
Or like Tomasino is your third line center.
Yeah. Like you've got to move on. Yeah, Cousins kind of feels like a guy that maybe if this keeps going this way, he may get traded off. Just a hunch. Yeah. I don't know. Not reporting anything. That's just a hunch.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Rocco Grimaldi yet, by the way.
Exactly. Which is another very interesting case as well. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'll touch on some very interesting comments from Victor Arvidsson in an interview with The Athletic, his injury history, and some interesting comments about how he saw his role here with the Predators and why his time with the Predators ultimately came to an end. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tomorrow, the Sounds begin a six-game series on the road against Jacksonville, the AAA affiliate of the Florida Marlins. I almost said they are the Miami Marlins. The Miami Marlins.
Yeah, it's Miami Marlins now. Yeah. Yeah. But I still call them the Florida Marlins and Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and I always will. Devil Rays.
Some things don't change.
Way cooler.
That's right. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza Company, so make sure you check that out. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Joe, your colleague, our friend of the show here on Robbie and Rex Road, Adam Vinken, came out with an interesting interview and discussion with former Nashville Predator Victor Arvidsson over the weekend. And Vinken and Arvidsson, they got to a lot of things in this article that you can check out at theathletic.com, one of which was the injury that we always point back to with Arvidsson, where the Robert Bortuzzo play, he got suspended for four games for the cross-check for Arvidsson, and Arvidsson never really seemed to be the same player in a Predators uniform after that. Arvidsson saying, quote, "I blew out both my MCLs on both legs, double MCL sprains on my left and right knees. Came back from that after about 5 weeks and got going again before the Winter Classic." That's pretty amazing to think about. We always point back to that moment, and it's basically a cross-check to the lower back and then a cross-check again while he's down on the ice. A couple of things stand out from that. Number one, to your point, people just watching Bortuzzo do that on the ice on the Predators and not doing anything about it was amazing to watch.
Like, hey, don't do that, please.
Like, please stop doing that to Victor Arvidsson. But number two, like the fact that that play basically blew out both of his MCLs, that's crazy. And it starts to kind of lend to why that year he never got that speed back. I mean, we were always asking, what's wrong with Victor Arvidsson? Why does he not have his speed back? Why is he not getting all these chances on the break on the rush anymore and these breakaway opportunities? Pretty interesting detail there that Victor Arvidsson threw out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's –
I'll explain it.
I always assumed terrible for the back. That can affect you in so many ways, but I didn't even consider, like, man, both knees, both MCLs? My gosh. So, certainly, that's a big moment in his career, and he's been banged up. People go after him the way he plays. He's a target, and then he's also smaller. I mean, he's taken some – I mean, he's tremendously tough. He's taken some – Bortuzzo's the top of the list, but there's plenty of them. Well, Arvidsson has been, and it has an effect. So, you know, some interesting things from the Vinken interview, of course. One, he said he thought he was healthy.
Yep.
And, of course, John Hines said he was not healthy when he didn't play him. Now, that can all, there's always a little gray area there of, okay, well, maybe you weren't officially on the injured list, but you're affected by this. I mean, we thought that Arvidsson as a healthy scratch was a thing that was possible going into that series, and I think it happened, or it sort of happened. Was he half injured? Whatever. Arvidsson obviously disagreed. Sounds like some other guys on the team disagreed. You know, Jared talked about Friday on his show about some stuff you'd been hearing about some guys unhappy about that, unhappy with Hines. For me, I can think of a couple guys. You mentioned one last segment who probably aren't super fans of John Hines. I mean, you can go back to the beginning of John Hines' tenure here when he immediately looked at Johansson and Duchesne and was sitting them down and moving them around and all that stuff, okay? So it doesn't rise to some level of massive concern about John Hines unless it's a whole bunch of guys.
Well, let me also say, pretty much on every team, with a few exceptions here and there, you're going to find players and coaches that do not get along and don't like each other. It's part of professional sports.
Like Peter Laviolette, for example.
Yeah.
Who Jared, I guess, thinks everyone loved him.
Right.
No, that wasn't the case. And as time got on, I agree that like Laviolette was scapegoated for David Poile's mistakes, but that's what happens in this league. Team starts losing. The coach usually is the first to take the hit.
Yeah,
but Peter Laviolette's voice had grown old for some guys, and let's not fool ourselves.
Now, I will say there was an interesting quote from this Arvidsson piece that Vingan came out with that I raised my eyebrows at a few times, and that was quote, and there's multiple parts to it, but quote, I feel like I didn't get seen as the all around player I was at the end of the day. That's my honest truth about it. I feel like I need to get that off my chest. I didn't play the PK. I didn't play in all situations like I did for the last 6 years, and I didn't for this year. I didn't play the PK. I didn't play 5-on-6 and so on. I think I can contribute on those areas. And he goes on to talk about, being happy with his career in Nashville, and he couldn't be more happy with how they saw him, they found him, they gave him his shot. And he mentions, I appreciate everything with Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy. They treated me so good. They really brought me into the league as a player. I am today. I have nothing bad to say about that. I loved it for a lot of years. He did not mention John Hines at all.
Well, Vingan,
now, Vingan asked him about John Hines later, but on his own, he didn't mention John Hines at all.
No.
And to me, that says something.
Well, of course. But it also says to me he was ticked about not being in the lineup.
Yep.
Maybe someone said to him, look, you're banged up. I'm not going to play. Whatever. Maybe there wasn't a conversation, but he was ticked about that. I will say also, good on you, Arvidsson. There aren't a lot of 30-goal scorers that care that much about playing on the PK, but good for you. No doubt. I mean, clearly he was not happy with how things went, and he made a point to bring up Laviolette. Then he was asked about Hines, and he was like, no, we talked or whatever. I mean, he kind of brushed off. He didn't keep going with it, but clearly, I mean, it's easy to read between all that stuff and see that he wasn't happy with Hines. Like you said, though, that's always going to happen, especially guys who get reduced roles in a lineup.
Yep.
Which also has happened to Duchesne, which also has happened to Johansson. I mean, Duchesne had the game of his life, the moment of his life with the Preds. The same night, he was still ticked about not being on the power play.
Yep.
It was, obvious in the post game. So, I just be real careful to take this beyond some situations like that, to take it to some big locker room mutiny thing.
Sure. I would be careful with that as well. Now, again, some of this is these players need to grow up a little bit and learn that you got to produce. This goes back to the players getting traded away conversation too. I get it. You're upset that your friends are being moved, and that's fine. You know what happens if you play better? Nobody gets moved. You keep the players around that you signed to a contract. That, at the end of the day, is what you're most responsible for. You go out, you take care of your own business. A lot of this stuff takes care of itself. I can promise you that John Hines didn't come into this job thinking to himself, you know what? I'd really like it if I could get to a point with Johansson and Duchesne where I could just sit them down. I can promise you that's not how he viewed it.
Right. Produce,
yeah.
Win, live up to your contract. And if that doesn't happen, then all sorts of different things can happen as a result. And as far as, you just can't over-concern yourself with, do the players like the coach, or are the players happy with my moves? They get paid handsomely to do this stuff.
Well, it's also interesting how quickly this stuff can turn, too, right? Because there was all sorts of rumblings a couple years ago when Tampa got swept by Columbus. these players, they're so tired of John Cooper and how smug he is, and maybe it's time for them to move on and have a different voice in the room. And how's that worked out the last couple of years?
They seem to like him all right.
Seems like it's doing pretty well
also
there in Tampa Bay.
John Cooper in the handshake line with the Canadiens, those are some of the nicest stuff I've ever heard a guy say. Yeah.
Apparently very nice in the handshake.
He's awesome again.
He's awesome once again. We'll continue to discuss the Predators on the other side. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on social media, on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. A little Blink 182 to close us down here on the show.
You trolling me already, huh, Michelle? Michelle's
come on,
already trolling
me. Come on, I had to. Robbie was smiling. You didn't have your headphones on yet, though.
I mean, you could play like some – the Beatles have about a million great songs. You could play one of those to troll Robbie. I'm just saying, just a suggestion for the future.
We'll see what happens.
Here Comes the Sun Tuesday morning.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens on that front. I'll get up and walk out and – Joe, you can do the show.
All right, that's
fine.
Good time. That's fine.
Speaking of tomorrow, we're going to have our SEC Media Days coverage tomorrow. Our own Chase McCabe is down there in Alabama for SEC Media Days, and our coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So looking forward to that.
Who's talking today?
You know? I don't know. I need to look. I don't think it's Tennessee or Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
today,
no, they don't. Yeah.
Florida LSU.
There you go.
That's it?
I think South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Little Coach O.
Yeah. Now, that I'll watch. Anytime Coach
Go
O
Tigers.
Talks, I'll watch.
Go Tiger.
What do you think Coach O's thoughts are on?
You guys shut up down after I do the press conference.
That was amazing. Oh, Coach O. What a time. Tennessee Vols coaching legend, Coach O. He's there for 1 year.
That's right. Then he tried to get everybody to... to leave class and go, and get on a plane.
Get on a plane.
To
just
LA
immediately leave. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our friend April in Portland texting in, I don't want Joey gone. He does a lot of good things that don't show up on the scoreboard. I want him to stay. I would give up anyone except Yossi, Forsberg, Ekholm, and Saros to get rid of Duchesne. So April... willing to pay a high price to give up Matt Duchesne if that is what is necessary for David Poile and the Predators.
And does not want to lose Johansson.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people kind of feel probably about how I do. Like I think of the two, if I was choosing, I would choose to keep Johansson.
I would agree. I think that would be the popular take at this point. But to Jacob from Murfreesboro's point on our text line, I know it's popular to hate on Duchesne. But if he's on a line with Johansson and Forsberg next season, we might see that 60 or 70-point guy again. They look good together in limited minutes this past season.
That may be one of the big hopes going into next fall.
They spent a lot of time hoping the last couple of years, though. There's been a whole lot of hoping going on.
Yeah.
And it's not worked out very well.
Again, it's time for someone in the forward group to do more than you expected, other than like, you know, a Tanner Jeannot coming out of nowhere.
Somebody
to be
gets paid to do more than you expected.
Right. Someone in the top six to actually do or even just meet what you would like
Let's
to see.
Let's start with that. Yeah. Chris on the text line, letting Ryan Ellis go was a good move. You can't pay a guy $6 million a year that's hurt all the time. And if you don't think he was overmatched in the last couple of playoff series, then you need your eyes checked. I would rather keep Duchesne and get rid of Johansson, and can't believe Poile exposed Trennan and protected Jeannot. There we go. A lot of love for Trennan. What am I missing with Yakov Trennan? Why do people think that Yakov Trennan needs to be protected? I do not understand this. I don't agree with Tanner Jeannot being protected either. This is amazing to me that people just think, oh, yeah, Yakov Trennan, got to make sure you protect that guy. He's a good player. He's not worthy of protection in the expansion draft.
To be fair, that text was just about him versus Jeannot.
Yeah.
So if you're just looking at it.
I would protect Jeannot before I would protect Yakov Trennan. I wouldn't protect either of them, but I would protect Jeannot before Yakov Trennan.
Is there anyone you wouldn't protect before Yakov Trennan?
Sure. Matt Olivier.
Oh, okay. So we've got your pecking order now on the herd line.
Yeah.
So now the Biloxi Bull can beat the crap out of you, too.
I mean, look, I think all of them are fine in the roles that they play. Like, all of them had some great moments last year. There's nothing wrong with them. That just because there's nothing wrong with them and they're good in the roles that they play does not mean they are worthy of protection in the expansion draft. I don't understand like this. I think everybody thinks that Yakov Trenton is about to become like, you know, Tom Wilson out there or something like that from the Washington Capitals. He's not. He's a good player. Hopefully he grows into a player that can play a physical role and add some depth scoring for a long time. That's the hope right now from Yakov Trenton. If you think that Yakov Trenton all of a sudden is going to turn into a 35-goal scorer, I don't know what you've been looking at. He scored 5 goals last year.
I can't wait. We need to save, Michelle, we got to save this audio.
I know, he's 2 years from now and light it up.
Trenton beats Arvidsson's goal record.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have protected Sissons. For sure. And you know, I mean, I thought it was between Sissons or Yarncroak. I thought it was going to be that as a choice. And, of course, you know, Sissons has a longer term. Yarncroak is a little more versatile. Although Sissons can move around, too. Jay Levin on Twitter is like, says, of those two, Trenton and Sissons, he says Sissons is by far the more preferable to lose. Cap hits in line with a plus third line forward, but he's only asked to play in the fourth line, so his contract has negative value for his role. To maintain cap balance, fourth line forward should have cap hits of $1 million or less. It's a crappy fourth line, man.
Yeah.
It's I mean, paying like a fourth line forward who's good, like a couple mil.
And it depends on what they're doing. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, straight up fourth line, you're not killing penalties, you're not able to at least somewhat chip in offensively. No thanks. But I don't think the fourth line, the salary of the fourth line right now is a big issue.
No.
Sissons is fine with the money he gets paid.
And listen, for all, I agree with you on the trend in love is a little bit overblown. The Jeannot protection is a head scratcher. All that said, I mean, that line really was a big part of why they got to the playoffs. So I'm good. I'm okay without a bunch of 750K grinders who can't do anything on my fourth line.
I'm okay with it too. But again, if your thought process putting this team together is the way we're going to make the playoffs and win in the playoffs is our fourth line is going to drag us there, I got news for you. That's not going to work out very well for you. It's just not. It's not. You can't win that way. You cannot win a Stanley Cup that way.
No. You're not wrong.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carlos texting in, I keep seeing Johansson in the Seattle draft. What would that take? Prospects, maybe half the salary? I think Johansson, getting him off the books would take less than Duchesne. Johansson's younger. He's been more productive. And he's been productive when it counts, and that is in the playoffs. I think there's at least some intrigue there if you're Seattle from, Johansson is tempting. I don't even know that Matt Duchesne's all that tempting if you're Seattle without the Predators adding some pieces to it.
Duchesne was productive when it counted 2 years ago for Columbus against Tampa Bay.
He was.
Like you said, it was like fire John Cooper, pay Matt Duchesne. So many things can look so different a couple years later.
As far as the retaining salary is concerned, like that may be something you have to consider if it's Duchesne, and you might have to retain a little bit. But like at some point, like, to Carlos's point, if they want you to retain half of Ryan Johansson's salary, you're better off just keeping him. Right. Just keeping him, let him play.
Double that and then hopefully get
good
Johansson.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, maybe the solution with those three is, with those two is, putting them back together on a line with Forsberg and just rolling with it for the first half of the year and seeing if that gets anything out of them. And if it doesn't, I don't know what you do after that. I mean, there's no more expansion drafts coming up after this one. So, with the flat cap, you're probably just going to be stuck with Johansson and Duchesne.
Yeah, I mean, there may be – someone asked earlier about a buyout. You know, at some point. At some point, maybe. But not right now. No, you've got $2 million for several years. You're paying tourists to go somewhere else.
Who knows what's going to happen with Shea Weber? I know David Poile kind of downplayed that on Saturday, but that's got to be, at this point, at least in your mind, of a concern about a cap hit with Shea Weber as well.
Right. All of a sudden, you could be sitting there spending $7 million a year for just to spend it before you even start.
So this is going to be a very fascinating week for the Nashville Predators, and we'll have you covered all week long here on Robbie and Rex Road with the expansion draft coming up on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. And as always, taking your thoughts all week long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got game six of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow as well. I've already put it on record. I think Milwaukee closes it out. I've seen enough. I think the Bucks get it done in Game 6 tomorrow night.
I'm uncertain right now. I
Michelle's
staring
have
a little bit of a suspicion
right now
that Michelle's sons may get it done. I'm not counting them out yet.
Yeah,
I agree.
Got to marinate on that a little bit.
We'll see what Joe Rexroth's thoughts are tomorrow on the NBA Finals as well. SEC Media Day coverage coming up tomorrow as well. Chase McCabe down there at SEC Media Days. That does it for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.